And Steve has often sort of asked if we might sew the sermons together on these mornings and do a little series. And it was one of those things this year was, I wonder if there is something. And I was something in mind, developed and thought and prayed. And even so, you do sometimes feel, I wonder. Well, we're thinking this morning very much about patience and David's waiting on the Lord. And it was interesting in the reading that I had before leaving how waiting came into it quite a number of times, which is just an encouragement on the way. But let's pray as we look into this and see what the Lord may have to say to us. Lord, as we come to your word, to reflect on it, to cherish it, yes, but to find like seed it planted in our hearts in a way that bears fruit. As we smile and as we ponder and are challenged, help us to accept both that we may see the truth, to be encouraged on our way. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I expect you've all got a favourite psalm of some kind or other. There's one, maybe the 23rd psalm, or there's another psalm which you often find your way to. Maybe you know by heart. And I'm not so sure that Psalm 40 would necessarily be one of those. It's one of those more ordinary psalms, one of those that one reads. No doubt it is for someone a favourite, but it's not one of those most favoured psalms. But we're going to look at it because it's a psalm worth noting. It is a psalm worth a look, worth reflecting on. And we're going to break it up into four sections. We're going to look today at the patient spirit in verses 1 to 5. We're going to look at the obedient heart in verses 6 to 11. And then we're going to just take a moment to look at the listening ear in verse 6 and what that means, to listen to God. And then finally, the place of prayer, the cry of the heart in verses 12 to 17. So that's giving you a little bit of an idea of where we're going. And we begin with verses 1 to 5 as we look at the patient spirit. And I want to explore with you as these words enable us to patience in our journey with God. David calls that patience waiting in our walk with God. I waited patiently for the Lord, he says, for the Lord's help in verse 1. He turned to me and heard my cry. I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, this is an important lesson and one that we have in common with this great writer of the Psalms. Sometimes you can think that these folk are special in a way you don't relate to them. But quite often when you take a look, their experience is one you can harmonise with. That need for patience. It's a world that we live in which is impatient. It's one that has instant anything, from instant coffee to instant access. It's all instant, isn't it? And we are in a world that lives uneasily with the time it takes when you click a button on your computer as to how long things happen. Those milliseconds, which are so important to some people, they will change to another provider in order that it's quicker. We are impatient. But there are times when in life we are brought up short and we realise that there is another time scale which does not work at top speed. We go in for surgery. We have an illness. And our body takes its time. And we find that hard. It should happen more quickly because we have modern drugs and we have surgery. But that isn't in the real world how it happens, is it? There are circumstances, whether we are a Christian of many years or few, that try our patience because they seem to go on and on and on. And there are times when we cry out to God and we find ourselves feeling, why doesn't God do something? And those opening words of David tell us that he's been in that same place. I waited patiently for the Lord, calling out to him. But it required patience. You see, there are these times in life when we need to take seriously the waiting process and its importance. We cannot escape from it. It is there. Three things I want us to underline. And the first is this, that David learned patience. This was something this man of trust and faith in God had to learn. Do you remember the story of David, knowing your Bibles as well as you do? He was anointed by Samuel to be king, and he had to learn to wait before he became king. God had chosen him to be king, and yet from the point of his anointing, his life literally went wild, and troubles untold came upon him. He had to become a fugitive because Saul tried to kill him on more than one occasion. He had to live in this boggy, pitted area where the soldiers of Saul would be less likely to find him. He speaks of being drawn up from that pit and that boggy ground, waiting. He had been chosen to establish the kingdom, but that had to wait until the time was right. And he had a longing in his heart to see the temple built and the Ark of the Lord housed at the very heart of the nation. But it only got so far, and it had to wait. He wanted to build the temple, but God said to him, that must wait. It is your son's task, not yours. David learned in his experience with God the place and the importance of waiting. Not an easy lesson to learn, but it was one David had to learn throughout his life. To wait for God's time, for God's answer, for God's action. The second thing I want us to note is that David learned a number of things in the waiting process. Things you and I may be able to just hear familiar bells being chimed as we note them together. It was a time as he passed through it that he learned things. To just underline four. He learned that God was capable of delivering him. That was the first thing. As you look in these opening lines, you see that David reflects on how God delivered him and was his deliverer. Deliverer from Saul. Deliverer from the kind of intrigues that went on in the palace. The people who wanted to take his life. The threats that came. Again and again in his life, he found that God delivered him. And never lose sight of the fact that when we speak to God, we're speaking to a God who is a God of deliverance. He had to learn that in experience. And sometimes it's good to go back in your life and think of the things that you have actually found challenging, you've prayed about, and from which you have emerged better than when you went in. The answers that have come, the way things have worked out, the deliverance God has given. It's something to be experienced, and it's something to give thanks to God for. He also learnt that trust in God gave to him a sure footing. You've stood me upon a rock. You've drawn me out of this bad situation. You've made my feet secure. You know, sometimes it's important to remember that faith has a practical element, and that trusting God is not a misfounded thing. It can be a profound thing. And that the kind of things it encourages give one surer footing and grounding. Not only in the way to go, but in trusting in the dark, that God can be trusted in the waiting and the uncertainty. It's a sure footing. You sometimes meet folk who in their life as ordinary folk in the world maybe have little or no faith to speak of at all. Their life has some uncertainty in a sense and some insecurity of footing about it. What do I do? Where do I go? And the game they play gets them into one bit of bother after another until they find themselves wishing they hadn't taken the path they had. But faith can be a great guider. It can give surety of footing and direction. David found that. He learnt that in the waiting time. Thirdly, he learnt that God could make his heart to sing in that waiting time. You put a new song in my heart. This is a chap who is a great songwriter. The Psalms are the lyrics of the past. And here was David saying, in the most difficult situation, there were times when his heart sang. And you know, this is one of the great assets of the hymns and the songs that we sing, that there are times when a line from an old hymn becomes a line that bubbles up and gives you cause to sing it. I don't know whether you have taken the hymn book with you along with your Bible when you've maybe spent time with God during the day or the week. And some of the lines of those hymns can speak deep truths to you. We were always encouraged at college to do that. And it's a valuable thing. There are circumstances in life which suddenly a line of a hymn will just sum up what is going on. In the difficult waiting time, you can give me a song in my heart. And David knew that, and we can know that. And maybe where that happens, and the guys, maybe even the girls, whistle the line of a tune or a song, it's good. It's a song in the heart. And the other thing he learned was that trusting God led to a kind of deeper happiness than that the world could bring. Happy is the man who trusts in you. That's what the word blessed means, happy. There is a contentedness. And he learnt in the waiting, in the impatient need for patience time, that in fact there is a joy in knowing God that can carry you through it, can be an accompaniment as you journey. You can only learn these things as you go through the waiting and the crying out to God process. It's a kind of maturing process. A maturing process. The last thing I want us to note, David learned patience from hard experience, but he also learned things in the waiting process that were valuable and enriching things. But the last thing I'd like to just share with you from these words is that David learned the importance of giving thanks in these times. In the difficult places, he learned the importance of giving thanks. Now, when you turn the Psalms over, thanksgiving is a rich theme. A rich theme. In and out of the Psalms, it comes like threads of gold. Turn over into the New Testament, and you find that encouragement to give thanks. Thanksgiving. And it was in the waiting process he learned to be thankful. And what he did was he looked back and he looked forward. He looked back to what God had done and gave thanks to God for it. And that's part of the reason why we come together in worship. It's to express that thanksgiving. Do you remember in the stories of Jesus how his heart was saddened by the fact that only one of the 10 lepers came back to give thanks? Thanksgiving is an important part of our relationship with God, and it is a part of worship, and it is that that delights the heart of God. But how often we pester God, but how often we forget to give thanks to God. I remember in my first church a chap telling me an amusing story. That means that's the key to you can have a smile or a laugh, okay. He told me an amusing story that was true. In the town where he lived up north, as a young man, someone who was in the Navy came back on leave. And while he was in the town, a young lad going home in his school uniform, cap and all and satchel, crossed over the canal and then went down by the side of it to lark around and unfortunately fell in. Now, you don't laugh at that. He fell in, but couldn't swim. So the sailor rushed down, took his jacket off, dived in, rescued the lad, got him out of the canal and gave him a bit of a talking to and what have you, and sent him on his way home. A pair of them soaking wet. Later in the week, he was in the market and a lady came up to him as he was there in his sailor's uniform and said, "Excuse me, are you the man who pulled my little boy out of the canal the other day?" And somewhat embarrassed and shyly, he said, "Well, yes, I was." To which she said, "Well, where's his cap? He had it when he went in." It's the way we are. It's the way we are. My son did a very similar thing at Mersey Island. A little lad fell in. His gran was with him. She had gone off. And he fell in off this pontoon. And he brought him out, got him on the ground. He's on the pontoon and his gran came up. Not a word of thanks. She just launched into him a little grandson for being stupid enough to fall in. How often, even in the most desperate situations, we can forget to give thanks. And yet, as we look back, there's a lot for us to give thanks. As I've retired, I know there are times when I'm sat reflecting and thinking, and I go over things that were a great challenge at the time, a great pain at the time, and thank God for him bringing us through and for the answer that came. Never fail to go back and thank God. But there is also in David's words a certain element of thanks for what he's going to do. For what he's going to do. And we're part of God's great plan. A plan of salvation before the foundation of the world. We're part of it. It's touched our lives. It's enriched our lives. And there is a sense in which it's going places. It's given our lives a sense of hope. We talked about it earlier in the service, in waiting for the Lord's return. It's a waiting process. And it's a process in which we can thank God we're part of that process. And that he has a place for us in heaven, prepared for us. And that there is a kingdom banquet we are to enjoy. And an eternity to spend with him. And to give thanks for what is to be as well as what has been. A psalm worth remembering. One which we can see relevant things within that touch our lives as they did David's. He learnt patience in difficult situations. Are you in that this morning, I wonder? Are there things around you, within the family, within your health, within your neighbourhood and life in general? It's in those processes you learn patience. And it's a relationship with God. And there are very interesting things you can learn within the process that are worth bearing in mind. Those kind of things that you're left the richer for, that you remember the deliverance God gave and it gives you hope. You remember that God has given you some ground that's firm to stand on. That God puts this song in your heart. And that God is a God who has not only had plans, but has plans. David learned patience. God grant that we may go away and reflect on those in those opening five verses that we can take away with us and we can read again, and as we do, begin to feel the commonality of the journey with both the songwriter of the psalm and ourselves. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for those little windows of light that come through the words of the Psalms, that let us in on the experience of others, long ago though their lives may have been. The journey of faith was a common journey we share with them. And life may have had its problems for them as it has for us. Help us to be encouraged. To be encouraged that as they found their life enriched by the waiting, we too may find our lives enriched. And that the sure ground they stood on of trust in you may bring a smile to our lips and a song in our heart. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.